Thank you, Chairman Cardoza, for having the hearing today on what I think is an important issue for many different reasons. I'll describe my childhood somewhat as I grew up. Most of us certainly treasure those days when we were back on the farm. In the area that I lived in, the neighbors up the stream and down the stream from us was about a half a mile apart. And my brother and sisters and I, at the first time that the ground started cracking, would go barefoot. And to me, the pesky things called honeybees that loved to get on the clover tops that were blooming in the spring would often remind me that I had no shoes on by stinging at the bottom of my foot. So as far as I was concerned, had there been a period of time when we were losing bees, I probably would have delighted at that, because it would have meant that I wouldn't have been irritated by the swollen foot that I would later have. But then I went to school, and I was amazed to realize how important those honeybees were to fruits and vegetables, to pollination. I then started watching those bees as they would bury up into honeysuckle vines, lilac bushes that my grandmother would raise, the snowball trees that had big white blooms on them, and was fascinated that they were doing part of nature's work, and that without those bees, that a lot of the creation that we enjoyed would probably cease to exist. And so I became aware of how everything works together in this world that we live in, and that bees certainly are a major part of that as far as pollination. So I started looking somewhat with a little disdain almost 30 years ago when we started losing colonies of bees, and then just recently started again hearing that we're losing bees, maybe at a more rapid pace. The actually colony collapse disorder may be occurring more rapidly now than it did some 30 years ago. Certainly I hope that this is not a phenomenon that will destroy our bee population in America, that will, I think, be a major negative impact on agriculture in America and certainly our environment. But I get the question I want to ask after defining my childhood that all of us probably can remember. As we look at existing USD pollinator research programs and see basically just this out-of-the-blue problem that we have today, do you think that we have adequate researchers able to handle this or other phenomena that may happen, Mr. Rexroad?
I think it's always a challenge to have those resources immediately available to switch gears and to take this on. We believe that we do have significant resources to apply to this problem. Over the last several years, we've had about $9 million in bee research in ARS. The amount of funds provided by the Cooperative State Research Service, CSRES rather, has been between $1 and $3 million, depending on the years and the kinds of grants that have been applied. We are taking a look at this and seeing what kind of new resources might be needed and looking to future budgets as a way of strengthening our own program.
I think one of the best bargains that the American consumer has, taxpayer, has provided for the American consumer has been the farm programs that we've had. It's supplied a good, safe, abundant source of food, pretty much everlasting, like an everlasting spring at an affordable price. I've noticed that as we look at the generic term that we use, mad cow disease, that certainly in beef cattle production, we jump very quickly to try to shut down any fear among the American public, consumer, and to the beef cattle producer, that if there's a problem there, we through USDA have resolved that and again obtained the confidence of the American and the world consumers of American beef. I certainly hope that we have adequate researchers in USDA that will look at all the problems that we may face in the future, and especially as we have in the last 30 years increased dramatically our pesticide herbicides that we use in agriculture production. I thank you all for being here, and thanks for allowing me to be a part of the discussion on this important issue today.